You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Are you voting this year? What do you want to do that for? Vote? Get out of here. You can't be serious about voting.
Would you vote for that person based on that commercial?
You know I don't vote.
Why don't you vote?
Last time I voted, that one time, Major League Baseball, when they started the fans voting thing, and I voted for Boog Powell, first base, he didn't get in, and it just disappointed me. It stayed with me. It's futile. That was it.
You've never voted for president?
No. Do you vote?
No. I always vote for the Academy Awards.
Do you vote?
No, I don't vote, no. I don't like the rooms. Too claustrophobic. I can't vote in small places.
Those folks from the movie Wag the Dog, which, as you know, is my filmic Bible for American democracy, those folks can't be suppressed. They don't vote. Like Rush Limbaugh, they typically don't even go to the polls. But there are serious efforts to steer people away from the polls. Voter suppression, intimidation tactics. In 2011, for example, Maine's Secretary of State sent a letter to hundreds of legally registered college students implying they were in violation of election law. The list of students came directly from the Maine Republican Party chairman. Or take this case of hundreds of anonymously sponsored billboards in Ohio and Wisconsin. The billboards show a large judge's gavel next to the words "voter fraud is a felony, up to 3.5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine." Those billboards went up primarily in low-income minority neighborhoods in early October, just weeks before the elections. Were the billboards an attempt to intimidate minority voters? Eric Marshall, manager of legal mobilization for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, joins us now. He says there are particular clues that indicate this was about more than just free speech.
It was the way the billboards were targeted, the fact that they were placed predominantly in African-American communities and in Latino communities, that there was a specific targeting, the fact that the people behind the billboards decided to hide under a shroud of secrecy through a clause that specifically negotiated in their contract. That was the concern we had, that basically by targeting these communities with these billboards, it made a statement that said, there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with your voting, we need to watch you. And in these communities particularly, there's a history of these kinds of tactics. You know, you can't take these billboards in a vacuum. Like in Milwaukee, for instance, where some of these billboards were. In 2004, there were flyers from the Milwaukee's Black Voter League, a false organization that claimed that if you had unpaid parking tickets or you're late in your child support or if any member of your family had voted in a previous election, you can't vote. And if you do, you'll be arrested and your kids will be taken away from you. There's this long-term campaign in a lot of these neighborhoods and efforts from shadowy groups that don't disclose themselves that are trying to ascribe criminal penalties to the act of voting. And we've seen it before, and we want to make sure that communities with the billboards are not negatively impacted, that they're empowered, and that they do what every American, we want every eligible American to do, which is go out and vote on November 6th.
Now, those billboards are on platforms, advertising platforms owned by the Clear Channel Company, and they issued a statement. We reviewed the situation, and in light of the fact that these billboards violate our policy of not accepting anonymous political ads, we asked the client, presumably the person that put up the money for these ads, how they would prefer to work with us to bring the boards into conformance with our policy. The client thought the best solution was to take the boards down, so we are in the process of removing them. Now, we can't cast any guilt or innocence here based on that statement, but it does sound like a client called up an advertiser and said, I'd like to put this message in these very particular communities, and the company who took that money looked at that again and said, uh-oh, we can't be doing that.
Well, you know, Clear Channel has come out, and we're very happy that they took it in the billboards, and we commend them for taking that step. What was not in that statement was any kind of admission that it was wrong to post these kind of billboards in these neighborhoods to begin with, and we are still concerned that these billboards went up in the first place. Now, it showed again that the group, when presented with a choice between disclosing themselves and taking accountability and standing up and saying, yes, we were behind this message and we stand behind it because we think it's an important issue.
Or even saying, we're sorry, we stand behind it and we're sorry.
Or stand behind it and we're sorry. There was nothing. It was, okay, we'll take them down. We'd rather not have these billboards up than disclose who was behind it. And I think that's cowardice. I think if you make a statement and especially target a specific community and you feel that the message is important, now we disagree with the message, but you should still be able to stand behind that message.
Of course, that lack of transparency is permitted under the law. You don't have to disclose, and what they're doing is not illegal in any sense. But if someone were to be found using these kinds of tactics to actually being suppressing of prospective voters on voting day, Are there penalties for that kind of behavior, whatever form it takes?
You know, there are laws in the books to prevent the intimidation of voters through force or coercion. So it depends on what exactly you're doing on election day, but there are penalties. But I will say that the penalties in the law is not clear. It's not clear enough to protect responsible Americans from voting. There are too many situations in this country, like deceiving voters about the time or the place and manner of elections, like putting flyers up in minority neighborhoods saying that due to high turnout, voters from one party vote on Wednesday and voters from another vote on Tuesday. Those aren't clearly illegal in most states because states don't have the laws that are strong enough to deal with that issue, and that's a big concern. We really feel like over the last year, the debate that's been out there around voting has been restrictive and been the wrong way to go about things. We should be talking about these issues. We should be talking about making it illegal to deceive voters about the time, place, or manner of elections. And it's time that Congress or the state legislators stand up and pass laws that make this clear that it's illegal and put in policies to make sure the government corrects it.
So, Eric Marshall, you say that these billboards fall into a legal gray area, that it is the responsibility of state and localities and the federal government to a certain extent to resolve legally so that there isn't this gray area and this area for places to maneuver. What are you seeing, though, in this particular election cycle that is more cut and dried, more explicitly a voter suppression that maybe doesn't require any additional laws?
You know, one concern we've received from voters in Florida and in Virginia, and we're still trying to get to the bottom of it, but there have been live phone calls to voters this year telling them that due to a change in state law, voters can vote over the phone, which is patently false. You can't vote over the phone in any state in the country. They're coming from Google Voice numbers. We're trying to track down who's behind it. But this kind of stuff happens every election cycle, and it's important that when voters hear this information, they know, one, that if they get a call and something doesn't sound right or they haven't heard it before, to verify what they've heard. If you receive a phone call that you know is patently incorrect, take down the information from that call, record it, find out who got it, ask questions, where the phone number came from, who was behind it, because we want to find out who's behind these calls and track them down so we can stop them, and they can call us at 1-866-OUR-VOTE to report the call and also to question and verify whether or not the information within that call, that flyer, is actually true.
Well, and our listeners in Ohio and South Florida will be very interested in what you're saying there. Eric Marshall, manager of Legal Mobilization for Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Is anything that Eric Marshall saying right now sound familiar to you? We'd love to hear your story. Give us a call if you received an inquiry like this, a phone call, a letter. We'd love to hear from you, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Eric Marshall is the manager of Legal Mobilization for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Thanks so much.